Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Is absolutely incrinculant. I have a new song about Malzy that I'm willing to try because I'm punch drunk today. I stayed up till 1:30 and then couldn't get to sleep because the game was so unbelievable watching Steph Curry last night. Just memorable is what it is. A memory for a lifetime at 1 a.m. on a Wednesday, technically. But it was still Tuesday night, and there I was. Limits. How are you?
I'm great, Joe. Do you consider 1 o'clock in the morning Wednesday like morning, or do you consider it Tuesday night?
No, I don't even know why I complicated it by saying Wednesday morning.
It's Tuesday night. Yeah.
It's very clearly Tuesday night, although not technically so.
Technically, it's Wednesday morning, but realistically, it's Tuesday night.
Very well said. Yes, I agree with everything you just said. I'm going to test my new Malzy song out later in the show. We are jam-packed today. And I mean jam-packed. We have Starkey's Card of the Week. We have the big boy Mark Cabali. We have Rob Long from Baltimore Radio on Patrick Queen. They've had quite an interesting relationship. We have Steelers-Ravens. I wish Pitt-Clemson was a bigger game. I wish it was. Remember all our hopes and dreams from a couple weeks ago when we were thinking that it might be Pitt in the top 12 if they won a couple in a row and beat SMU against undefeated Clemson, ranked in the top 5 perhaps? Well, our dreams were dashed, weren't they? Let's get to a six-pack. Thank you, Limits. I appreciate that. We're going to open today with Deontay Johnson. Listening to the morning show, listening to everybody's interpretation of what Mike Tomlin said yesterday and what he didn't say. I'm sorry, but I'm reading that as a subtle shot at Deontay. Now that I've had a day to think about it. Of course, that's the way I read it when I didn't have a day to think about it, too. Mike Tomlin makes every opponent sound great. He made Daniel Jones sound like Daniel Marino earlier this year. The fact that he was thrown a softball, first of all, he didn't mention Deontay when he mentioned all the guys that helped spice the rivalry by switching teams between the Steelers and the Ravens. I mean, he mentioned Chris Wormley. No offense to him, but he mentioned Chris Wormley. He also mentioned Jeremiah Moon, the Moon over Miami, and a bunch of other guys, but not one Deontay Johnson. And that was curious in and of itself, but okay, maybe a little oversight. Then it got a little stranger when our very own Jeff Hathorne piped up later in the news conference just to ask about preparations for Deontay.
Mike, you mentioned guys on both sides. What would it be like for you to face Deontay, and what challenge does he present for you guys?
To be honest with you, I hadn't thought a lot about it. He's not on a lot of their video, and so, you know, at this stage of the week, I don't know that I've weighed, you know, what he might mean to the matchup. They got more significant pieces with larger roles that are occupying my attention at this part of the week.
Oh, man. Maybe it was just an innocent and accurate, I might add, observation. But based on Tomlin's MO at those news conferences, it sounded like a subtle shot. I don't think he's a huge fan of Wrong Way Deontay. And I think that was something that, for all we know, could already be up on the Ravens bulletin board when Deontay walks into that room today. Walks in backwards, of course. Your thoughts, Limits?
Oh, that was a shot. That was a shot from Tomlin. It was, I think, a subtle one. I don't think he was trying to, obviously not directly call out Deontay, but I mean,
well,
think
who
about
was
this
he trying
though.
To call out then, if you think it was a shot?
Not direct, not like directly. I mean, he was trying to do like a little
subtly.
Jab.
Yeah, yeah.
It is true, though, that Deontay last week barely played against Cincinnati. He played garbage time the week before his lone game against whoever it was for the Ravens.
Okay.
I feel like he also is just trying to throw a little bit of salt in the wound of Deontay not playing, and he's probably pouting a little bit to himself, if not to the Ravens, about, hey, get me on the field.
Deontay says they're just sort of integrating him into the offense. He's learning the terminology. I don't know what that has to do with not getting out of bounds when you're supposed to and falling flat on your face when you're wide open in the middle of the field. Does Deontay have an impact on this game?
Yes. I think he has a big third down catch.
I think he has an impact, but not a positive one for the Ravens. I don't know whether it's going to be running the wrong way, like Jim Marshall. Is he going to give the Steelers a safety by taking a wide receiver screen and turning and running 80 yards toward his own end zone? Is he going to drop a ball in the end zone? Is he going to fall down in the middle of the field or not get out of bounds? One of the above, I think, may happen. Next. All right, Limits. The NBA in-season tourney. My first question for you is, and I've fallen in love with this thing. My friend Jason Bumbliss hates it, although we both enjoyed it last night. We're Warriors fans. They paint the courts. They actually have a tournament where guys can win for everybody but the stars a significant amount of money by winning. And watching this thing last year, they played hard. It was like playoff basketball. They did. I think NBA players always do. I think they get a bum rap, but this was playoff level. My question for you is, should the NHL do something like this?
Sure, if they want. I mean, I don't really find much of a liking for the in-season tournament in the NBA. It's fine. I'd watch the championship game, but I'm not in the painted court. Sure, it's cool. Last year, I just didn't understand the purpose of it. It's mainly to draw attention to the NBA during football season, because all eyes are on football and not on the NBA at this time.
It's to ratchet up the intensity in the middle or early parts of a season.
I don't think it's that. I think it's all about TV ratings and trying to get a bigger audience
during a time too.
When it's all football season. So in that instance, then yes, the NHL should adopt it.
I think the NHL should absolutely adopt this. Make it a nice big monetary prize. Paint all the rinks different colors. Be unbelievable. To see the, can they do that in the NHL?
I doubt they do that.
Because of the puck?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't think you want a black puck on a blue ice rink or a red ice rink.
How about yellow? You could do that. Gold for the Penguins. Turn it gold.
I don't think that would work. I'd be curious to see what it would look like.
Why are you the cynical one at 23 years old and I'm the creative fun one at however old I am?
I just think the in-season tournament is pretty gimmicky. Like, why did you even need to create the in-season tournament to try to mirror soccer?
Why not? I think it's awesome. And if you stayed up last night, I would compare Lamar Jackson comes to mind in this conversation. And I wrote about this today, that he's the type of athlete like Michael Jordan, like Steph Curry, where anytime they touch the ball, a lifetime memory might ensue immediately thereafter. Wait. It might happen right then, and I stayed up to 1:30, and I got one. He was ridiculous
so
last night.
So you think that game was as good as it was because it was the in-season tournament, not Steph versus Clay?
No. That's sort of a separate thing. No, not at all. I wasn't thinking much about the in-season tournament. That was Steph versus Clay.
Entirely, yes.
It was only round one of the in-season tournament.
Yeah, I mean,
it was amazing theater. Amazing for November. I will always remember that game. I'm sad, although somewhat sorry that I stayed up for it. I mean, I'm happy. I don't know what the hell I'm saying. Go to the next thing. Thank you, Limits. And now we get to the Penguins, trading Lars Eller for a fifth-round pick in 2025 and a seventh-round, is it seventh-round? Third in 2025 and fifth in 2027? Do I have that right?
I think it was a fifth and then a third.
Well, whatever it was. It was two draft picks in the future, one of them in 2027. And that prompted the Pittsburgh Penguins to release an email. Let me make sure I get this right.
It was a 27-3rd and a 25-5th.
Yeah, a 27-3rd and a 25-5th. I'm very excited about this, I might add, for Lars Eller. The Penguins sent out an email announcing the trade, and in it included a table of their future draft picks, including 2027, when they have multiple picks in the second, third, and fourth rounds. This is what we've been reduced to here. We're announcing trades, and instead of saying, oh, you know, look at what we're getting back, or you know, are we excited about this, or here's some of the things about the trade, we're sending out a table of future draft picks. The acquisition of the picks, the Penguins say, gives Pittsburgh 10 selections in both the 25 and 27 NHL drafts to accompany 9 selections in the 2026 draft. Well, as the great Derek Coleman once said, whoop-de-damn-do. Do you care about this?
Not really, no. I mean, I know.
Do you care that they're accumulating future mid-round picks?
Not mid-round. I mean, if they're accumulating first and seconds, I feel good about it. Thirds, okay. I mean, they've gotten guys like Brian Rust, Jake Guentzel in that range that was past the first round, Connor Sherry. But I mean, at the same token, there's
Connor
still
Sherry.
Remember him?
Yes, of course I remember him. I mean, Connor Sherry to you, big boy.
Key to being in two Stanley Cup teams. But regardless, I feel like this team is still in between. They're leaning towards rebuild, but they just don't want to say it out loud. And I mean, that's what you're doing if you trade Lars Eller, who's been one of your better players this year.
Has he?
Who has been your good players this year? Crosby?
Hardly anyone.
Exactly.
I don't care about Lars Eller. I don't care about third round picks in 2080. In 2027, by the way, if you take a second or third rounder in 27, you're likely to see them, if they pan out, which is less than a 50-50 proposition, in like 2030.
Nobody on this current team will still be on the team in 27.
No.
Other than Crosby.
Well, other than 27, but what about 30?
Not at all. Crosby will be retired.
I don't know. Wake me up when they decide to go full rebuild and ask some of these guys if they want out, if they want off the sinking ship.
Well, there was a story yesterday that's the case. They're asking on everybody but Crosby.
Where did that
story
come
that?
From?
Taylor Haas, DK Pittsburgh Sports.
That they're actually asking these guys?
No. Well, no. Talk to a source that everyone's on the table but Crosby.
Okay, that's way different than saying they've started to ask people. Is that the case?
I'll pull it up for you.
Why, thank you. If they haven't, they should. Obviously, Sid gets to decide whatever he wants to do. If he wants to stick around for a full rebuild, or if he wants to go, you know, try to win another Stanley Cup, he gets to do whatever he wants. But other than that, you know, you might be surprised if one of these other guys might say yes, who either have limited or full no trade clauses. I mean, you have to trade at this point Pettersson and Raquel. They're both pieces that I think other teams would want, and they're movable. But then what about Erik Karlsson? Do you beg him? You know, do you want to go back to Ottawa? Would they want him? Do you beg Gino, who's been, I think, just good enough that some other team may still want him? You know, you're not going to get a king's ransom anymore for him, but you would be out from under whatever's left of that contract, plus moving on. You might be able to get a second-round pick for him. You know, you ask Brian Rust. You ask Chris Letang. You ask everybody. And then you start moving people. What does the story say?
Story says a league source told Taylor earlier this week, Kyle Dubas has made it known to other teams that, quote, everyone is available except 87.
Ooh. Okay. Well, that's sort of splitting the difference between the two. That's not saying that he's gone out and asked people to waive their no movement, no trade clauses, but it's an indication that he would. It's an indication that they're open for business. I did not see that story. That's big news. Big news. And I commend him for that. Good old Kyle Dupas. I commend him for that. Let's go. You've arrived at rock bottom before you intended, so why not stay? There's no franchise in the history of American sports who is more of a glowing testament to tanking than the Penguins. It got them all of their Stanley Cups and two of the four greatest players in the history of the league in Mario and Sid. So do it again.
They're going to end up with the same situation as the Blackhawks, I think. You know, Taves stuck around for a little bit, but they traded Patrick Kane. They traded Duncan Keith. And that's probably what's going to happen with Letang and Malkin. Maybe not Malkin. I think they're probably going to keep Malkin around, and he'll just retire a Penguin.
I would ask every one of them. And I actually love that. I actually love that Kyle Dubas, if indeed that story is correct, if the sources are correct, I believe Taylor, that sources told her that. Let's hope that that's right, that Kyle Dubas has taken that tack. Everybody's available but Sid. That's a giant story.
Huge.
Right there. And it, I love that. So let's do that. And let's get past, as quickly as possible, the days of giving up six goals in the first period and sending out news releases where we're pumping up the fact that you have a third round pick in 2027. Thank you, Limits. Next. Meanwhile, Paul Skeens, you mentioned, up for not one but two awards, Rookie of the Year and Cy Young. What are his chances on both, in your not-so-humble opinion?
Only one rookie has ever won the National League Cy Young Award before, and it was the late Fernando Valenzuela in the 80s. I don't think that he's going to win Cy Young. He should win Rookie of the Year. That should be a slam dunk. It's not a slam dunk because Jackson Merrill had such a good season in San Diego.
I think the way Skeens finished it is a slam dunk, but go ahead.
I don't think there's any way that you can deny Paul Skeens. The effect that he had on the city, he started the All-Star game. He broke and set records that haven't been set since the 1910s. The just flair for the dramatic.
Did you know that Ron covered Cy Young when he pitched
in 1911?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many Cy Young awards did Cy Young win?
I think like seven or eight. Yeah.
Ron got the first one-on-one interview with him.
There were a ton.
Which is your cue to do a Ron soundbite,
I thought. He's going to present the award to Paul Skeens.
Next.
So yeah, I think he wins Rookie of the Year, and Cy Young, though, I think he finishes second or third. Probably
yeah,
third.
Me too. Although I think there's multiple Cy Youngs in his future.
Yes.
By the way, there's some very attractive trade candidates on the market. Hitters for teams looking for pitchers. Oh, limitless wonder. And I'm wondering, you might as well crack one on that. Go ahead, crack away, because what's the name of the winter meetings?
The winter meetings are coming up.
No, the hot stove.
Yeah,
the hot stove. And usually everybody, all the other teams, or most of them, are upstairs in the banquet room enjoying the hot stove, and the Penguins are locked in a cellar somewhere with somebody throwing them leftovers on a tinfoil-covered plate under the door. How about they go up and get a real player and trade for a real player this offseason? Would you like that? They seem to have a surplus of young pitching. Why don't they deal that for some young hitting? How about Mitch Keller? Would you trade him for a like hitter?
No, if you're going to trade anybody, you're going to trade one of your prospects. You're not going to trade Mitch Keller. You're not going to trade Jared Jones.
Why? If you get a really good young hitter, then bring up your prospects.
Why?
This guy's knocking on the door.
Again,
you give what you give is what you get. It's just like the Christmas season, I think.
I would rather have those big three horses at the top of the rotation and then play with the rest of my cards on the other guys and deal them.
Keller's a horse without a finishing kick. The last two Septembers, he melted down the stretch.
Yeah, as has the team. Keller's kind of a go-with-the-team kind of thing. With the way that he goes, the team goes.
Well, it should be the other way around when you're a pitcher, and he's been brutal late the last two seasons.
I would rather trade Ortiz than Keller. I wouldn't touch Keller or Jones.
But you're not going to get what you want. You have to give something good to get something.
You don't think the way that Ortiz pitched last season, they can get something for him?
Who would be another team want more, Ortiz or Keller? You have to think about that?
Yeah, because Keller I know he's got a favorable contract, but I mean, as you said, maybe teams point to the way that he finished the season
the
last couple of years.
Whoever gets you a better guy then. I mean, I if I were another GM, I would be trading for Mitch Keller over Luis Ortiz. I would give up something more, but maybe you're right.
It wouldn't be a one-for-one. You'd probably throw in two pitching prospects. It'd probably be like Ortiz and maybe a Thomas Harrington.
I'd give up Jared Jones to get the right guy.
That's what I would do. The right guy? Because Jared Jones is your number two.
Yeah.
Like, why would you give that up if you actually think that you can contend?
To get a hitter. To get a middle-of-the-order young hitter.
Yes.
Is the obvious answer to that.
Their starting pitching is so deep in the organization.
Exactly.
Where they have no hitting.
So trade from the top of it.
So why not trade? I wouldn't trade Chandler, but why not trade everybody below that?
You're not going to get the guy you want. Or if you are, okay. So you're saying you would trade a more prized someone who's prized more than Jones to get a hitter?
No, I'm saying that the Houston Astros acquired Gerrit Cole for Colin Moran, Joe Musgrove, and a couple other pieces that didn't end up mattering. You could make a deal to get a really good pitcher and not give up Jared Jones or Mitch Keller to
hitter,
do it.
You mean?
To get a hitter and to do it.
Okay, then make that trade. I'm not sure. I think it would be a hell of a lot easier for teams that want pitching and crave pitching to give up a guy who's wait, what am I looking at here?
You're making one part of your team
worse.
No,
hold on here. Abreu. Abreu's the guy that I would want. Why would the Red Sox deal a player like that who has five more years of team control because they have another young right fielder, 20-year-old Roman Anthony, who's even better? If Boston can put together a trade to land a strong pitcher, they can afford to move Abreu. Give me that guy. Give me him. I can afford to trade a pitcher. Maybe even a Jared Jones. Maybe even. But if, as you're saying, do you think you can get a really good, somewhat established young hitter for the type of package that you mentioned?
How established is Willier Abreu, too? I mean, his first full season was last year, 15 home runs, 58 RBIs, .253 batting average in Boston. I mean, he's not that established. I mean, he won a Gold Glove. But
I mean, almost an 800 OPS. He'd look like Babe Ruth in this lineup.
Okay, one season.
You remember
season,
the players they trotted out last year? Jared Jones is one season, too.
Jack Sawinski hit 26 home runs in one season and has completely fallen apart. It's
all
a crapshoot.
We can all point to one-year wonders. You're not getting anything for Luis Ortiz, okay? Let me just be clear on that. You got to trade something to get something, Limits. You don't even want to trade Mitch Keller. You wouldn't trade Mitch Keller to get a like hitter, someone who puts up pretty good numbers every year and who's, you know, not your top player, but maybe a second best hitter in a decent lineup.
Why would you want to subtract from your major league team, which is not good enough right now, to be able to
need a hitter?
Yes, you would. If you trade Mitch Keller, you subtract from your good starting pitching.
To get a hitter.
Yes, instead of giving up one of your top prospects.
How do you think this works? Okay, then give up a top prospect.
I'd rather give up a top prospect to do it.
All right, then give up a top prospect. I'd actually rather give up Keller than a top prospect, to be honest with you.
Why? That's what I don't understand.
I just said why. The guy finishes every season like he's Secretariat with a broken leg down the stretch. That's why.
Why would you not give up Ashcraft and Harrington to get somebody else? Like, that's the thing that they love to do in baseball trades.
So the Red Sox are sitting there saying, man, I'd sure like to get Ashcraft. I don't know about that. I think maybe someone above that. You got to give something to get something.
I just don't think it's necessary to trade major league pieces to do it. I think you can do it in a different way.
All right. You might be worse off doing it the other way, by the way, because Mitch Keller now is, he'll be 29 by the time the season starts, and he appears to have plateaued. In fact, his ERA was worse, and for the second straight year, he got worse in the final month. Anyway, why are we arguing about the Pirates on November, whatever this is?
That's a great question.
Because it's the hot stove. That's why.
The stove gets hot.
They're going to get like a little piece of dry turkey and a little piece of stuffing with a raisin in it slid under the door like they do every year. Can they ever just step to the plate, so to speak, and do something that's, you know, exciting, that gets people talking across baseball?
Well, didn't Paul Skeens get them talking across baseball? I know you mean trades, but.
Yeah, that's not a winter stove development. That's
When's the last time that you ate a box of raisins? It's been a while for me.
That is a great question.
You know, like, you used to get those when you were a kid.
Yeah,
you used
really,
to eat a whole box of them.
I really liked them, too.
Me, like, too.
They were a treat. I'd come home from school every day and watch MASH and pop open a box of raisins. I'm saying 40 years. How about you?
Wow.
Maybe 45.
Yeah, probably 10 years.
Why did we stop? if they were so enjoyable?
I don't know. Is it like a young kid snack? Just a box of raisins?
Do raisins fall into the category of like, you know, Teletubby cereal and things like that? I don't know. Like you can't eat it beyond 11?
Teletubby cereal? Yes. They made that?
I don't know if they made
that. I thought it was just a TV show.
Remember Donnie said last week that he likes the Teletubbies?
Did you know that the lot that the Teletubbies made, a bunch of people kept going there as a tourist attraction, so they decided to tear it down, the owner of it?
I had no idea.
It was terrible.
And there is a Teletubby cereal created in 2001. But you get my point. Like some things you're just not going to eat anymore when you turn 12.
Yeah.
Why raisins? Why did they get lumped in with that?
I don't know. They don't serve raisins at the restaurant, right? You don't go to a restaurant and ask for raisins on the side.
They're kind of disgusting, though, I guess, is the other thing that comes to mind.
I think they put raisins in salads, right?
Yeah, I hate that. And yeah. I hate, you know what a raisin really ruins? That was a lot of alliteration there, is a good carrot muffin.
Carrot muffin?
Keep your raisins out of my carrot muffins.
Never had a carrot muffin.
Really?
No. I like blueberry and chocolate.
You're on fire today. You are.
You got me fired up.
I know. I think both of us share this passion that we want the Pirates to get better.
Oh, completely, yes.
And it's related to this topic. They have this guy. Who's the team we were just talking about that made a trade? Washington Commanders.
Yeah, Lattimore.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen on this planet in the next year, let alone the world of sports. It's a year-by-year thing, whether it's college or the pros anymore. It's fantasy sports. There's no such thing as a college program anymore. You build a new team every year, and the pros are pretty much like that, too. I mean, the Steelers just redid their whole quarterback room, for God's sakes. There's very little continuity. When you have a chance, when you have a guy like this, you win now. You do everything you can to win now. There's no five-year blanking plan. Get out of here with that. There's Jaden Daniels. That's why I respected what they did. They've got a stud right now. I don't know if this guy's going to tear up a knee or get hurt or whatever else is going to happen. He's unbelievable right now. So go out and get Lattimore. Why wait? You know, like the playoffs. Oh, we want to make the playoffs. What a good step for our program. No, we want to win right now. And that should be the Pirates.
Go sign a first baseman.
I don't know what's going to happen to this kid. The history of power pitchers tells me he's going to get hurt. Maybe he'll avoid it like Verlander did all those years, like Garrett Cole for the most part all those years. Maybe he's an unusual case. That would be wonderful. Of course, he's going to be gone in a couple of years anyway because they're not going to be able to sign him. So win now. Do something. Please do something. And do something dramatic now to try to win.
For some perspective, the texters are agreeing with you that they would trade Mitch Keller, at least a couple would.
Thank you, Limits. They usually agree with you.
Yes, but this time they agree with you, and I wanted to let you know.
I just
we have to be fair and balanced on this show.
I just feel so strongly about that. You know, I don't want to lose feeling for the Pirates. I fear that that's happening with the Penguins, and I think it'll happen quicker because they're not as ingrained in like the history of the city as the Pirates. At least I think that. Maybe people can tell me differently. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, I think you're right. It's a Steeler town followed by a baseball Pirates town, then it's a Penguins town.
It's just I don't want to become apathetic, and I feel like sometimes I'm teetering. You'd think I'd teetered way long before this. But come on. You have that guy. He's literally one of the greatest young pitchers of all time. And as you mentioned, you have people around him to build a really good staff. You have what everybody wants. Just please go out and get some hitting. It can't be that hard.
No.
Trade one of them. You know? Go out and get a hitter. All right, Limits. Are we done with the six-pack?
Yeah, I think we are.
One for the road? Last call?
Last call at the bar.
Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. We have a lot happening. As I mentioned, we have the big boy coming on in the noon hour. We have Starkey's Card of the Week coming up next. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. And yes, our six-pack brought to you by Bet365. All right, let's do a cannonball. Usually I say we're going to dive into a topic. Today we're going to do a cannonball. Could you dive? Were you a good diver? I was always afraid of diving. I don't know why. There was some sort of fear of diving into a pool head first.
Yeah, I never learned how to dive because our pool is a sports pool. So it's like 3 feet when you get in, and then it gets to four feet, and then it's 5 feet in the middle. So you literally can't dive in.
So you're a cannonball guy?
Yeah, big cannonball guy.
Yeah, let's do a cannonball. Back into Steelers Ravens. Eventually today, we're going to talk about Lamar and TJ Watt and great athletes who have never won championships and what that means. But up next, we have Ben talking about the Steelers' place in the AFC. Very interesting stuff. You can weigh in with the Limitless Wonder here. The fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. I could be abnormally cranky today, for which I apologize, Limits, if there was a little edge to my arguing, because it's my second day away from caffeine.
I thought it was your third.
Maybe my third.
You've lost track.
See, now he disagrees with me and gets my anger up again.
I'm trying to make sure that you have your days correct.
Yeah, you're right. No, my last cup of coffee was Sunday. Yeah, so you're right. It's my third day without caffeine. And I also stayed up very late watching Steph Curry and Klay Thompson go back and forth, which was just an incredible sporting event. So I'm a little cranky today. So please bear that in mind.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
These are good times if you're a Steeler fan. These are the games you want to be in. As Mike Tomlin said, a five-star matchup. I saw where Adam Schefter, Limits, tweeted out that never before in Week 11 had there been three games matching two seven-win teams. What do you think of that?
Every time I look at the matchup, and Joe, you know that I watch a lot of TV, like the FBI shows and all the other shows and that.
Yes.
They're promoting this week's slate more than they have any other week this year. Constantly with promotions. They know how big this slate is. I'm so fired up for this. 1 o'clock, 4:30, 7 o'clock. We get the AFC North in two windows. We get Steelers Ravens, and we get the two teams that I would think are most likely to go to the AFC Championship game in the middle window. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Tomorrow night, we get the Commanders and the Eagles.
And that's a good game.
That's a great game. And then two teams that haven't won seven games, but I think is a fabulous Sunday night game, basically a playoff game for the Bengals, is Bengals-Chargers. Burrow against Herbert? Are you kidding me?
So then the Monday night game has to be great, right?
Nah, the Monday night game stinks.
Yeah, Houston and Dallas. Cooper Rush.
The Cooper Rushes. Although Dallas is always interesting because people like me take great pleasure in their demise when they fall apart. And by the way, what if they upset Houston? Speaking of which, the Steelers' place in the AFC. Let's talk about that for a moment. Actually, let's let Ben Roethlisberger talk about that from his podcast, Footballin'. Let's hear it, Limits.
I think this puts us in a closer level to the Chiefs. I think we're a better team than the Titans. I think because we're a three-phase football team. We have all three phases that are really clicking right now, and what Russ is doing is kind of taking the offense with his confidence to another level. And I think we're just going to continue to see it. Obviously, he's playing well right now, and that's what we want to continue to see. And I think you're going to see the offense continue to grow. I think we were a little A little more trouble running the ball this week, but we showed that we can then throw the ball to make the things happen. So if you combine both elements of the football game, of offense running and throwing, I think you're going to see a more complete team and add on to the team that's already pretty darn complete.
Man, I do agree with a lot of that. Here's the thing. The Steelers have a good defense. I don't have any doubt about that, that they're good. I don't know that they're very good or great. I think we're about to find out over these next several weeks. You know, Cleveland aside, they're playing really good quarterbacks and high-powered offenses, and I have concerns, believe me, I do, about the secondary primarily and what's going to happen against these teams. But I think they at least have a good defense. I think they at least have a good offense, and they have very good special teams. They can beat you in a number of ways and win different kinds of games. What you have to do, go back and look at the Chiefs' playoff history, the kinds of games they've won. They can win them when they're low scoring, and then when they're shootouts. Either way, they're built to win. And people don't talk, I think, enough about Kansas City's defense either and how that's the unit by far that is carrying that 9-0 start. I mean, by far. But I agree with Ben there that the Steelers sort of all-around game, they're a complete team right now. I don't know if they're a good team or something more than that. I'm very convinced they're at least a good team, though, and a team that can compete with really anybody in the AFC and win any kind of game. And that's not a prediction. I still don't think they're going to win the division. I think the Ravens are actually a better team, but not by much, and the Steelers play them so well that it wouldn't shock me in the least if the Steelers maintained where they are now, which is first place in the AFC North. But I would just be heartened if I were a fan with the knowledge that my team can play with anybody in the AFC and can win a game that might get up high 20s or 30s against one of these quarterbacks. Not will necessarily win, but have a fighting chance. And that just hasn't been the case for a while. It just hasn't. I haven't felt like the Steelers are a real contender, but I'm with Ben on most of that.
Outside of Russell Wilson, which is just the glaring, very obvious reason as to why the Steelers, it all starts with the quarterback, are thriving and really succeeding this year better than other years. Special teams is what I think is really tying this together. You could argue Chris Boswell is the best kicker in the entire NFL right now, especially with Justin Tucker kind of slipping this year. You can argue that Danny Smith should win Special Teams Coach of the Year the way that every single week they make his special teams play. And after they signed, the guy that looks like Bill Burr, Cam Johnston, the punt, Corliss Waitman has been very good. It's not the sexy topic to talk about the special teams, but that has also made them more complete because special teams is factoring into points in these close games.
Man, they sure are. You're not exaggerating at all with that. They've been hugely important. 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Top of the hour, I want to hear about your concerns moving ahead. In fact, I want to hear about your biggest second-half concern with the Steelers. What is it? There's some people out there who still don't think the Russell Wilson thing is for real. Looking at some national pundits, there were a couple that I was watching some clips yesterday who still think that that's not real. Maybe they'll be right. I don't think they will be, but maybe they will be. I mean, it's a three-game sampling right now, and now people have that on tape, as they say, and maybe they play Russ a little differently. We'll see. I think he's for real. But for you, maybe it is Russ. Maybe it is the offensive line. Maybe it's the secondary, your biggest concern about the second half Steelers top of the hour. In the meantime, let's get to Starkey's Card of the Week. First, 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. We're really celebrating that, aren't we, Limits? Which we should. Listen to this show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. So we go out to Jeff Patton, General Patton, we like to call him, from the Baseball Card Castle. And Limits, what's your guess for Card of the Week? You have one? Yes. Lars Eller, maybe?
No, I'm going to go with Mr. Mike Williams for making a big play in his first game as a Steeler. Touchdown grab, one target, one catch. Made the most of it.
I like that a lot. You know what? I'm going to go with Mike Williams and Preston Smith, the new guys. I wonder what the general has cooked up. Hello, General. How are you?
Gentlemen, good morning. Appreciate you having me. Both good guesses. I want to go with something that's a little bit more strong in regards to value for Starkey's listeners. We're going to go with another one of the additions that really started to pay off this week. How about number six running all over the place and hitting people? We got a Patrick Queen autographed rookie playoff contender rookie card that's autographed. And we'll also throw in a Mike Williams card.
Nice.
I like for it to be super valuable for your guys.
Yeah, you could have done a Deontay Johnson card and it would run backwards.
But I will tell you, Williams certainly earned that seventh round pick in one play. That's for sure.
Great job on the Patrick Queen one, though, because that is a themed card for this week. And I have a feeling, did Queen talk yet this week, Limits? Is he talking today?
No, I think it's a little bit later on in the week.
Let's get some nice clips from him. I think he'll have a couple things to say this week to spice things up, General.
He's always good, but it was a noticeable difference this week. He was flying all over the place. So this card is autographed, certified autographed, rookie card. I'm sure the listeners will enjoy this.
There you go. You're a wonderful man, General, and we appreciate it.
All right, you guys have a good week.
There he goes, Jeff Patton, Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry, Patrick Queen, autographed rookie card. Your chance to win that. Go to our website, 937thefan.com, to our contesting page right around noon today through Friday.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.